Everyone. And welcome to worship at First Omagh this morning. A special warm welcome to those from Trinity Congregation who are joining with us for the month of August. It's lovely to have you with us today. A couple of announcements. The first one is just to let those who are in the walking group or anybody who would like to go on the walking group know that the walking group will be back and meeting again on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. So please do feel free to come to that in the car park at 7 o'clock for a walk. I'm not sure, Brian, if you're taking them around the town or where you're going, but Brian will lead the way, so you don't need to worry about that. And they'd love to see as many of you as possible. And then I'd like to invite Emma Fleming to come forward, and she's going to give us a little notice about the Holiday Bible Club.
Good morning. It's great to be see you here this morning. Can I just remind you about the Holiday Bible Club blasting off on tomorrow night? It's hard to believe we finally are on nearly the 12th of August. And Holiday Bible Club this year will be Space Academy, and it is for children from 4 to 12. There's still plenty of space and time to register. So if you do know any children at that age, please do feel free to encourage them to come along at any stage of the week. Holiday Bible Club this week will be just a typical fun night of songs and games, some crafts, Bible stories, and of course plenty of fun and food. That'll be Monday to Thursday's plan, but Friday night, as you can see on our slide this morning, we're having our Messy Church family special with a barbecue. Now, that's open to everybody to come along to see and to hear and to do lots of the different crafts and activities and games together that we will have done throughout the week with the children. So please do take that warm invitation to come along for that fun experience on Friday night from 6:30 to 8 as well. And of course, everybody loves a barbecue, but in our weather, we're praying that it'll be good weather to enjoy that barbecue to finalise our plans for this year for the summer. So please do come along on the Friday night and do encourage the children to come along Monday through to Thursday as well. Can I just remind the leaders to those who are signed up to help this year, there'll be a short meeting after church today just to discuss through our programme for tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Emma. It'll be a fun-filled week for everyone, so looking forward to it myself, and to find out how Space Academy links in with the Book of Daniel. That'll be quite interesting. So, might hear a little bit about it next Sunday as well, so that don't feel as if you'd be left out. But do feel free to come along on Friday night and join in the fun. We come now to worship our God as we sing our opening hymn, and that is hymn number 215. Jesus is Lord. Let's stand and worship God together.
Jesus is Lord.
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Roberta for coming to play for us again. And Roberta Bailey, it's lovely to have you here with us as you lead us in our music for our songs and in those quiet moments of reflection. We do appreciate it very much. So the Eternal Father, who loves us and set us free from our sins, who loves us still with that love that will not let us go, and who will love us forever, calls us to worship him today and to remember the depths of his love for us in Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So let us worship God with loving, thankful hearts as we come before him in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your great love for us revealed in your Son, Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you that through faith in him, we can know true forgiveness of sin and can be led in the ways of righteousness. Open our hearts this morning to receive your love, your truth, and your mercy, and equip and enable us to serve you the rest of the week with willing, obedient, and thankful hearts. These prayers we offer in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is found on page 693, and it's from the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, and we will be reading verses 19 to 26. Let us listen to God's word to us this morning. You people who live in Jerusalem will not weep anymore. The Lord is compassionate, and when you cry to him for help, he will answer you. The Lord will make you go through hard times, but he himself will be there to teach you, and you will not have to search for him anymore. If you wander off the road to the right or the left, you will hear his voice behind you saying, Here is the road, follow it. You will take your idols plated with silver and your idols covered with gold, and will throw them away like filth, shouting, Out of my sight. Whenever you sow your seeds, the Lord will send rain to make them grow and will give you a rich harvest, and your livestock will have plenty of pasture. The oxen and donkeys that plough your fields will eat the finest and best fodder. On the day when the forts of your enemies are captured and their people are killed, streams of water will flow from every mountain and every hill. The moon will be as bright as the sun, and the sun will be seven times brighter than usual, like the light of 7 days in one. This will all happen when the Lord bandages and heals the wounds he has given his people. Amen, and we thank God for his word to us. Got a few kiddies in the congregation, but you may not want to come to the front. I don't know. Do you want to come to the front? No. Wee shake of a head. No. Another wee shake of a head. And if there's any down there at the back that I can't see behind all the big adults, we'll just actually do the children's talk, everybody together from where we all are. Is that all right? So today's theme for our service, which I mentioned last week, is looking at Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. And there are many times in our lives when we wonder which way to go. Should we go this way? Should we go that way? Should we go this way? Should we turn and go that way? All these decisions that we need to make. Now, that might be if we're out on a walk with Brian and he's walked the group far too far on up ahead and you come to a crossroads and don't know which way to go. Now, I know that won't happen because Brian's very good and he'll make sure that everybody waits at a junction. But sometimes you can be thinking, which way are we meant to go? Should we go to the left? Should we go to the right? Should we go forward? Or shall we go back? A bit like when you come to a roundabout on a busy road and you're just not quite sure. And I remember a trip that I took with my parents in England. We were driving along roads that we didn't really know. We came to roundabouts like Spaghetti Junction, and my mother was helping my dad to find the right way. And we came to this roundabout, and she said, "Oh, take the second road on the left, David." And then as soon as she passed the first road on the left, she says, "Oh, no, I'm sorry. It should have actually been the first road on the left. You're going to have to go all the way around the roundabout again." Now, the journey in the car for the next 40 minutes was quite frosty, with Mother saying, "Look, David, I told you I was sorry. Will you just not forgive me?" Because she had got the directions wrong and Daddy was a bit cross. So sometimes that can happen in our journeys when we're out with Mum and Dad in the car and they get the road wrong, and maybe it's Mum or maybe it's Dad gets a bit cross when they can't find their way. But it can also happen in life. We can be puzzled about the roads or the decisions that we need to make in life. Which way are we to go? Some of those decisions and challenges and questions that we can face might be about situations that we face in every day. Maybe as a child in the playground, you notice that someone from your class is sitting over in the corner and they're crying. And you should think, "Oh, well, what am I supposed to do here?" Well, what could you do? You could just ignore the fact that they're sitting in the corner crying. You could go and run with the gang that made your friend cry, and you could decide that you wanted to be with them because they were more popular, and just leave your friend crying. You could go over and comfort your friend, or you could go and tell the teacher that your friend is upset. So you've got all these routes that you can take, all these decisions that you can take in life. Which way are you going to go? So you have to think about what would be the right way to go. And so you would decide to comfort your friend, and then when you go back in at break time to tell the teacher, or to go and see someone in the playground, an adult in the playground, and let them know that your friend had been sick. Those would be the right things to do. Two things you could do, two things that would be right. Two things that would be wrong would be to ignore your friend or to join the gang that had been upsetting her or him. So that's a dilemma that you can face in life, and you have to think, which way should I go? It's the same for adults in life whenever we're facing situations. Maybe somebody has divulged something to us and we think to ourselves, well, you know, they're going down a particular path and it's a wrong decision to make and they're going to end up in trouble. What should you do? Should you just let your pal, your friend, your work colleague, your partner, whoever it happens to be, go ahead and make that decision? Should you try to help them to understand that there's another option and another way out? Try to help them to get help and support. So in life, there are these very many places when we're at junctions in life and have to make decisions. And sometimes there isn't a right or a wrong answer. There isn't. It's just you have to make a decision. And in those occasions, I always turn to the next verse. The verse is going to appear on the screen. And this verse says, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, you will hear a voice behind you saying, 'Walk in, this is the way, walk in it.'" So whether you turn to the right, whether you turn to the left, you will hear a voice behind you say, "This is the way, walk in it." Now, this time of year, a lot of teenagers are getting results of examinations at GCSE and at A-level, and they will be deciding which subjects they want to do or what course they want to attend at university or whether they want to go into a college to get training in a particular field of work. And they have all these choices, and sometimes they can get really stressed thinking which is the right way. But actually the right way is often not necessarily one particular path, but how we choose to live our lives as we go on that journey. So we have to reason, make our decisions, and think, is this something that would be consistent with the way that God has taught us to live? So whether we turn to the right, whether we decide to go to university, whether we go to technical college, whether we go for a job, all of those options are available to us. But how we choose to walk that way, whichever way we choose, depending on a whole lot of factors and support from parents and guidance from teachers and a sense of our own gifts and talents. But there are still different options that we could take, all options that are positive and good. But whichever option we take, are we willing to hear the voice of God saying, this is the way, walk in it. But whatever way we go, whatever we decide to do, that we do it in a way which brings honour to God and walk in ways that are according to him. Live our lives showing truth and goodness and justice and kindness and mercy towards others. Whichever way we turn in life, we can trust in God to help and to guide us. And then, of course, as Christians, we have also the one way to follow, which is Jesus' way. Today we're going to look at how Jesus claims to be the way, the truth, and the life, and how we are called to follow him as Christians and to seek to live our lives to bring him honour and glory. So I hope that no matter what decisions you might face this month in August, that you will take the opportunity to think about the various options and think about, well, what way would be the best way? What way would bring the most joy to myself or to my family or to my friends? Which way would be bring honour and glory to God? And then choose to take that path and to follow it in truth and love. So we come now to sing our next hymn, which again helps us to unpack that little bit about how we pledge to follow Jesus in every aspect of our lives. And we're going to sing it now. It's hymn 558, I Want to Walk with Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
as Emma has already mentioned, this week is our Holiday Bible Club week. And the week has not just happened by accident. There has been a lot of planning and preparation for the week, as well as a lot of thought and prayer gone into the programme that the children will be going through Monday to Friday. And in a way, it's a little part of us doing a little bit of mission out in our wider community. There will be people from our own, children from our own congregation coming, and a warm welcome extended to any child in the area who would like to come. An opportunity for children during the summer months to come together to learn about God and his love for them. And so I would like to take this opportunity today in our service to pray for the Holiday Bible Club in particular, to pray for the leaders, to pray for the children, and to pray for the families that those children come from, and to pray that God's Spirit will be present during the week as people lead and teach and have fun and no doubt make a mess. All good fun. So, and I haven't, I've sort of told Emma, but I haven't really told any of the other leaders unless she sent a message around them. But I would like, and not everyone who's helping out in Holiday Bible Club is here this morning, but those of you who are here, could I ask you to be brave? And, you know, brave as if you're like Daniel facing the lion's den. You know, all we're asking you to do is to stand up so that people here can see those who are going to be helping out during the week. So if you're going to help at Holiday Bible Club, would you please stand? Thank you. So have a look around and see there that we have about seven people standing, representing the leaders who will be helping out each week. Thank you very much for your bravery. And you can now, I don't even have to tell them to sit, they've already sat. That's grand. I was thinking about bringing you up to the front, and then I thought, no, this is Flo, no, we'll not do that. Thought that would be just taking it a step too far this time. But maybe after they've done Daniel and seen how brave he was, they may be willing to do it next year. But we're going to come now before God and just pray for the Holiday Bible Club. So let's join together. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the truth that is contained in your word. We thank you, Lord, for the stories that are there of people of faith, for the challenges that they have faced in their day-to-day lives, how they have grown to love and serve you in the midst of different situations and circumstances. We especially think of Daniel and how he had to live in a foreign land and yet chose to continue to follow you faithfully. And so we pray, O Lord, for our leaders at Holiday Bible Club, for Emma, who is coordinating it this year. We pray, O Lord, that you would give her wisdom and grace as she continues to provide leadership to the rest of the team. We pray for each team member as they step forward to help out, whether that be in storytelling or playing games, making crafts, preparing food, singing, so many different ways, interacting with the children on a one-to-one. We pray that you would give them courage and strength and gifts, that they would be able to do what is asked of them, and that as they do it, they would know that they are serving you. And we pray too, O Lord, for the children who come along. We pray that they will have a fun-filled week of activity as they learn about you and about your servant Daniel and about the good news of your gospel and how much you love each one of them. We pray, O Lord, that by your Spirit you would be present amongst the leaders, amongst the children, amongst their families, that it would be a week of really great blessing and an opportunity for people to grow in the faith. We pray too for the families and the homes from which the children come. And we pray, O Lord, that as the children return home, they also may share all that they learn at Holiday Bible Club with their parents and older and younger siblings. And we thank you, Lord, for this community that we live in. We pray, O Lord, for the community that surrounds us. And we ask, O Lord, for your blessing to be upon us as we seek to live for you in the midst of this community. These prayers we offer in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We'll move now to the scripture reading, which is 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 1, and that's page 263 of the Bibles in the pews. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Page 263 of the New Testament section. First of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, requests, and thanksgivings be offered to God for all people, for kings and all others who are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceful life with all reverence towards God and with proper conduct. This is good, and it pleases God our Saviour, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to know the truth. For there is one God, and there is one who brings God and mankind together, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself to redeem all mankind. That was the proof at the right time that God wants everyone to be saved. And that is why I was sent as an apostle and teacher of the Gentiles, to proclaim the message of faith and truth. I am not lying. I am telling the truth. Amen. And we thank God for his word to us this morning. So we come to our prayers for others. And we're going to focus on the many different ways that demonstrate how Jesus is Lord of all creation, that he is indeed the way, the truth, and the life. So let us pray. Eternal God, your Son is King and Head of the Church. We pray for your people across the world, that what is divided by doctrine or race, by class or creed, may be united in your praise. Eternal God, your Son is ruler of the nations. We pray for all in authority that those who lead us may establish right priorities, and that by your wisdom and their vision, the world may reflect your kingdom. Eternal God, your Son is Prince of Peace. We pray for a peaceful world where children grow up without fear, where security rests on trust rather than threat, and where nations fight against poverty rather than against one another. Eternal God, your Son is Saviour to the poor. We pray for those living in poverty, that we may strive to make this world a place of plenty, where the riches of creation are shared by all. Eternal God, your Son is healer of our sickness. We pray for those who are ill or who are passing through difficult times, that they may know the power of Christ to heal and sustain, and the love of friends to support and guide. Eternal God, your Son is the resurrection and the life. Confirm our faith in his victory over sin and death. Comfort those who mourn, and help us to live on earth the life of heaven. Eternal God, we pray for one another, and for all who are absent from us today, that the Lord in his grace may keep us all from falling, strengthen us all in service, and unite us all as one for the sake of your kingdom. In his name we pray. Amen. So we come to our next hymn, which is actually 574, Will You Come and Follow Me If I But Call Your Name? Hymn 574.
Thank you.
Last week, we looked at the waymarkers of faith in the life of the people of God. First of all, we looked at Abraham, who was chosen by God to be the father of the Jewish nation. Chosen to be the father of a nation that was to bring light to the Gentiles and to call people to worship the one true God. We looked at the life of Joseph and how, although he was sold into slavery and sent to prison for a crime he didn't commit, God used those circumstances in order to provide for his people at the time of famine. And so Joseph was in Egypt, head of the Egyptian resources, when famine struck Israel. And his father and brothers and all their descendants all came to Egypt to receive provision from Joseph, provided by God. Then we looked at the story of Moses and how God delivers us from evil, from the evil regime that the Israelites were facing in Egypt, how he delivered them from that evil and led them into the promised land. And then the story of Joshua and that promised land and the blessing that God has for people as they live for him in the world. So we looked at the people, the way markers in the scriptures for the way of life. And faith, and I also then shared a little bit of my story as a Christian, the way markers in my life, my baptism, my communion, my commitment to follow Christ, the difficulties after Mum died when I was young, and the blessings that I have had as I've sought to follow Jesus all the days of my life so far. Nothing perfect, but in the midst of it all, God at work, giving those signs in my life of his presence with me. I asked people who were here last week if you would take that opportunity to think this week and the week that's just passed about your own life and those way markers of faith that are in your journey of faith. I hope that you took the opportunity and the time to do that if you were here last week, and that you would take time last week to think about the things of faith in your own journey and those significant events where your faith grew and developed. But one of the greatest encouragements in our Christian faith is sharing our faith stories with others. We learn from each other. We find that we have common ground with one another. We're challenged when we hear other people's stories and how they've responded in faith in challenging situations and circumstances. And we all then grow in knowledge and love of God. So I would like to put a challenge to you again this week, that as you've reflected on your own journey of faith, that you would take the opportunity to share that with someone. Now that might be your husband or your wife or the person that who shares your home with you. It may be your friend. It may be the person you're sitting beside in church today. It may be a relative, it may be a work colleague, but look for an opportunity where you can share your story of faith with someone else and then allow them to share their story with you. And you'll be surprised at how these simple faith conversations can help us to grow and develop as Christians. So another little challenge for you this week if you choose to take it up. And you'll find that many of our journeys of faith are very similar because many of us have been brought up in a similar situation. Most of us gathered here today, I would suggest, attended Sunday school as children, learnt the things of faith as a young child, part of a Presbyterian community. Many of you may even have done that in this very church. Those of you who are in Trinity may have done it in Trinity. Those of you who have married a Presbyterian may have been raised in a different tradition or in a different Presbyterian church, whether that be Anglican or Methodist or Baptist or Catholic or whatever it happens to be, but you've been raised in the Christian faith, probably in Northern Ireland. I'm not making assumptions. I don't know all of your stories. See Mr. Lee there. I don't know all of your stories, but I'm guessing that most people will have had a similar Certainly, path in the Christian life. certainly where church connection is concerned. But what about your daily, everyday life, your family living, the choices that you've had to make, those decisions that you've had to make, those crossroads in life, the things that you've learned? Those things will be unique and particular to you, and so those can be opportunities for others to learn about you. But the one thing that we all have in common as people who profess faith in Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If we are a Christian, if we are someone who places our faith and hope and trust in Jesus, then we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the greatest faith marker of all. He is the door through which we enter faith. He is the resurrection and the life, the one in whom we can find forgiveness of sin and eternal life. He is the way. The early Christians were actually called that. They were called the people of the way because they followed the way of Jesus. They committed their lives to him. They received the forgiveness that he offered through his death and resurrection, and they sought to follow Jesus in their lives, to follow his ways, to teach of him and to show his love in the way they lived their lives in the everyday ordinariness of life in whatever town in Israel they lived. Their desire was to share that good news and that gospel with others. And it's no different for us today as Christians. We are all followers of the way of Jesus. People who have placed their trust and who believe in Jesus Christ as their Saviour, the only one who can forgive their sins, the only one who can offer them life eternal. Jesus himself says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus himself says, he is the way. Only through faith in Christ, only through Jesus, can we enter the presence of the Lord. Why? Because we are sinful people and we cannot be in the presence of a holy God. So we are separated from God. Sinful people, holy God. But Jesus provided a way for us to cross that chasm of sin, and it's through his death on the cross at Calvary. So he paid the price for our sins so that we as sinners can receive forgiveness, and so we can come into the presence of a holy God and to be reconciled to him. That's what it means to be a Christian, to have our sins forgiven through recognition of Christ's work on the cross at Calvary. We read earlier in 1 Timothy chapter 2, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." So here we have Paul telling the young Timothy, reminding him that it is Jesus Christ who mediates between us and God, and it is in him that we find our salvation. And then in Acts 4 and verse 12, we find that Luke, who records Acts, Luke accompanied Peter on many of his journeys, so many people think that this also reflects Peter's thinking, where it says, "There is no other name by which men can be saved." So Luke says in his book of the Acts of the Apostles, "There is no other name by which men can be saved." Christ alone has opened up the way to eternity through his death on the cross and his resurrection to eternal life. It is only through Christ that we can enter a holy God and to be present with him for all eternity. The Christian faith is very clear on where it stands. Jesus is the only way to the Father. Yes, our lives may take different paths as we come to know Jesus as our Saviour and Lord, but only Jesus can lead us to the Father. He alone has earned the right through his death on the cross to forgive the sin that's in our lives and reconcile us to our Heavenly Father. No one else can do that. No other religion can offer us anything remotely similar. Now, in today's world, maybe you feel uncomfortable with this exclusive claim of the Christian faith, that there is only one way to God through our Saviour Jesus Christ. Many people in our world today, particularly in the Western world, would say that there are many paths to God and you just have to find the right one that suits you. That's a position that Madonna takes. She believes that all paths lead to God. You just do whatever you like and that's fine. She blames religion for causing the wars in the world. And she cites the fact that many of the religions have the same messages. And indeed they do. Many of the main religions also have similar teachings because they stem from a desire to know the one true and holy God. And so love thy neighbour as thyself is also referred to in the Quran and obviously in Judaism as well. Again, similar moral imperatives for us as to how to live our lives. But only Christianity provides an opportunity for us to know our sins forgiven and to be restored to Almighty God. But the secular world, and increasingly now even some people who are within the Christian faith, think that there are indeed many paths to God, that you don't have to believe in Jesus Christ to get to heaven, that everybody will get to heaven no matter what they do or how they live their lives. But where do they get the basis for these claims? Whose teaching are they going by? Often it's as a critique against Christianity that people say this. You can't say there's only one way. Everybody can go their own way. But when you look at all the different religions in the world, they all make exclusive claims. Even Madonna's exclusive claim that all paths lead to God. She's exclusively saying that. She's saying that that's what you can just believe whatever you want and you'll still get to heaven. That's what she claims. Do you believe her? You think about Islam. It teaches the Quran is the true word of God and is the only way to salvation. Judaism teaches that there's only one God, Jehovah, and only Jews can be the true people of God. Mormonism believes that salvation can only be found through the teaching of Joseph Smith and the Mormon Church. Hinduism believes in thousands of gods, and that individuals will be reincarnated in the next life, either to a higher or to a lesser being. Buddhism believes that there is no God, only a truer understanding of the self. And Christianity teaches there is only one way by which men can be saved, and that is through Christ Jesus. All religions are exclusive by their very nature. It's what people believe, so if you believe that, then you're part of that group, but that's exclusive to that group. And all religions can be wrong. We could have got it all wrong. All could get it wrong. But they can't all be right. They can't all be right. Because one saying you go in that direction, one saying you go in that direction, one says you have to repent and go in that direction, one says you have to look inside yourself to find yourself. So which one's right? Which direction do we go in? Where do we place our trust? They can't all lead to the one destination. That belief that is so pervasive in today's society, that so many people just think that it doesn't matter how I live my life. It doesn't matter what I believe. One day I'm going to go to heaven when I die. They've mixed it all up. And they're believing these false truths that are being advocated. But there's nothing to substantiate that claim other than wishful thinking on our behalf as human beings. People who want to have control of the way we live our lives and don't want to be accountable to a higher God. Christianity, however, clearly states there is only one way to the Father, through Jesus Christ, his Son. That is an exclusive claim, but it is also an inclusive faith. Because nobody is excluded from that. In John 3:16 we learn, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God so loved the world. Not just some people, not just the Jewish people, not just the religious people, not just the good people, but all people. He loves us all. No one is excluded. Unless we exclude ourselves. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, whosoever believes in him, whoever believes in Jesus, will not perish, but have everlasting life. So whether you're male or female, whether you're Jew or Greek, whether you've black skin or white skin, whether you're a Protestant or a Catholic, whether you're rich or you're poor, whether you're strong or whether you're weak, whoever you are, whatever you've done, however you view yourself, or regardless of how anybody views you, God loves you and Christ has died for you. And if you believe this to be true, then you will receive forgiveness of sin and you will not perish. Christianity is the most inclusive religion. It is open to all people. Paul tells us the same thing in 1 Timothy 2, that God, our Saviour, wants all people to be saved. God's heart desire is for all nations to come before him. He wants every individual to turn to him and receive salvation. That is why he sent his only Son into the world, to save us from the consequences of our sin and to unite us with him. Because Christ came and paid the punishment for all the sin that's in the world. No other religion teaches that. Instead, they teach that man or woman must save themselves. Obey the Torah is Judaism. Follow the Quran is Islam. Live the best life that you can live and be reincarnated in a better life is Hinduism. Discipline your own body and find peace and calm within is Buddhism. They're very simple definitions. I know they're much more complex. But all of those are all dependent on what we do with our life, whereas Christianity teaches us that God, in his mercy, sent his own Son to die on the cross at Calvary for the sins of the world and to ransom us all, not dependent on us, but on his amazing grace. What is our response today? Can we truly say, yes, Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life? Have you accepted Christ as Saviour and Lord of your life? I hope that you have. If you haven't, then take this opportunity today to think about these claims of Jesus. Think about who he says he is. To think about the state of the world and the sinfulness that's in it. And to think, is this the right way? Is this the truth? Is this where life can be found? And I hope that as you think and ponder and pray, that the Lord will convict your heart and that you will agree that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and you will accept him as your Saviour. For many of us gathered here today, we have already done that. But we have to allow Christ's resurrection and his new life to live in us to show other people, because God loves the world. He wants all people to know that salvation is freely on offer for them too. And so we are called to live our lives, to follow in the way of Jesus, to show his love, to show his mercy, to show his grace, and to point people to the one who can reconcile them to Almighty God, to the only one who can forgive their sin, and that is Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord. Amen. Your offerings to God will now be received. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your love for the world, that you sent your Son Jesus to be our Saviour. We thank you, Lord, for the faith that we find in him. And we pray, O Lord, that you would take these, our offerings and our lives, to help us to show your kingdom here on earth, to show your love and your care and your compassion to others, and that we too can point others to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. In his name we pray. Amen. It can sometimes be difficult in life when we think about all the complexities that there are in life and in faith, to get ourselves confused. And so it is also important that we think upon Christ and upon who he is and allow him to give us the vision and the strength and the grace to live for him. So we finish with a well-known Christian hymn. It's hymn 491, Be Thou My Vision, asking God and Christ to be our vision, to guide, to direct, and to lead us in our lives. So hymn 491, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.